Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Thank you for joining us. If you're listening live to this one, episode 103 of the podcast is going to be our tier list for every Star Wars movie and show. We're very excited to be doing this one today. Want to say a special welcome to all those of you who are joining us live for the episode. It's going to be a good one. Joey and I have done our rankings of various movies and shows before, but we've never done a tier list of all of them together. And tonight we're going to be taking that on. So whether you're watching live or you're listening after the fact, welcome in. Want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out for the video version of the podcast, as well as our reactions to all of the latest Star Wars shows when they go live, and our more and more frequent live streams that we've been doing recently. Check us out over on YouTube and subscribe as we continue that climb closer to that 500 mark over there. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise, and we'd love to showcase them here on the podcast. Additionally, the Hoth Hangout Podcast is findable wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a five-star review, leave a five-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much, and it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. And to join the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, check out the link down in the show notes of today's episode. We are, of course, talking all things Star Wars movies and TV shows today. And so our viewer question for today is, do you like Star Wars movies or TV shows more? What is your preference? Are you more of a movies kind of person, or do you like the direction Disney has taken the past few years with incorporating a lot more frequent Star Wars content with the TV shows? Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or on the socials as well. Joey, how are you feeling about this this endeavor we're taking on, ranking all these movies and shows of Star Wars today?
When we plan out these episodes, this is one that we thought of. And it kind of surprises me that it took over 100 episodes to even come up with this idea. So I'm glad we finally got this one under our belt here. And especially on a very quiet Tuesday that nothing else in the world is going on. So I think this is probably the best time to talk about here tonight. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. We're going to have some fun. Anybody who is in chat can also let us know your thoughts on, you know, where you think some of these shows and movies should be ranked in the tier list here. And maybe excuse our opinions on it as well. So we'll see.
Yeah. Nothing big going on tonight in the world. Nothing like that or any means. Yeah. welcome in, Mariah. Hello. Good to see you there in chat. I happen to know who that person is, believe it.
Oh, you do? Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Close friend?
Yeah, you could say that.
That's great. Hi, Mariah.
But yeah, as you said, you know, we're going to be welcoming in kind of opinions and thoughts on each of these shows and movies as we're going throughout the duration of today's episode. And maybe, you know, having that factor into some of our thought process for where some of these should be ranked on our off hangout tier list. So before we get into all of that, we do have a couple pieces of news that we want to mention. Actually, just one main one in particular. The Skeleton Crew trailer was released on Friday last week. And if you haven't watched our reaction to that trailer, it is up and available over on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. It kind of just feels like a nice, like I would describe it as like a homey feeling show. Like it feels very, you know, kind of approachable to all ages of audiences. And it feels like a show that, because there's not a ton writing on it, like I think there was with Acolyte, it feels like something that's probably going to be more well-received than some of the more recent shows have. But the trailer itself, it was fun to actually kind of see it for the first time, as much as we've been seeing pictures and hearing things about it. What was your biggest takeaway from the trailer that we watched last week?
I mentioned it on the reaction, is that it, you know, just the way they shot it, the way that the music was and everything, it had that 80s vibe for sure. which is right up my wheelhouse, and I'm excited to see it. It doesn't quite feel like Star Wars, just based off the trailer, which I'm not sure how that has been received. Just because, like, you know, we had like music with like lyrics and just like little things like that. Those are actually big things. Not used to the style of a Star Wars trailer of any point. So to see that, to hear, you know, just to take that all in, I thought it was a good trailer. I'll be interested in seeing how the show does. Like you said, there shouldn't be a lot of stakes riding on this particular show, but I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. And this, you know, and I think we even said it way back when they announced it. This is a perfect time of year for the show. The holiday season, you get to watch 8 episodes of, you know, this Goonies-like, E.T.-like Star Wars show. So I think it'll be just fine. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, do you anticipate... I know we talked about this a little bit in our brief commentary right after our reaction video. But do you anticipate there being any major tie-ins to the Mando universe? I know it takes place during the main... during the same timeline as the Mandoverse, and many are speculating that there might even be like a cameo perhaps. Do you want that or do you not want that?
I think I personally don't want that. I wouldn't mind this kind of being a separate entity. I mean, just based off of, I can't imagine Mando like popping in on this right now. Like it would just feel jarring. And this should, you know, I feel like this should be its own story. It just kind of exists in the universe elsewhere. Are they probably going to have some tie-ins? Probably, but I'm not sure to what extent. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of lean towards the same way that you're feeling. I love Mando and I love Grogu, but I don't want this show to feel reliant on that. I want it to be able to like be its own thing. I think part of the reason why. I guess Andor is somewhat of a polarizing show. There are people out there who would say that they don't really like it. But I think part of the reason why I personally and many others loved Andor so much is because it doesn't have this like, you know, like thing that it feels like it's trying to achieve in the greater scheme of Star Wars. It just like it is what it is, and it's like gritty and it's real, and it doesn't feel like it's trying to meet this like larger narrative, you know, that the overarching Star Wars is trying to tell. And so in that same vein, I feel like Skeleton Crew could have that going for it. With the way that things are, kind of, I guess, in the same ways that like people use the term McDonaldization to refer to like how like what happened to fast food in like the post-World War II era, I feel like we're in the like Marvelization of the movies era. And it's like, well, it's during the same timeline, so it would be like, there's no way they're not going to tie it in some way. Right. And I get that too. You know, it's trying to like, by tying something in, you bring audiences of one show, encouraging them to watch their other show. But I think this show would bear, it would probably do better if it didn't lean heavily into that. So I tend to agree with kind of your thoughts and sentiments on that as well. But I guess those of you listening and watching, let us know on that too. What are you feeling about the release of Skeleton Crew? Actually, less than a month away from the time of this recording to the release of Skeleton Crew in just less than 1 month's time. It's hard to believe it's already also November, by the way. This is our first November podcast, first podcast of the month. And it's like, where did 2024 even go? But
yeah, I had to write the date recently in October. You know, I was signing something and I had to write the date in.
Yeah.
And it shook me that I didn't even get used to 2024, writing 2024 yet on anything. And here we are just months away from it finishing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like when I'm in the office and I'm writing like a progress note, I recently had to like start inputting like the next session dates with like beginning in an 11. And I was like, wait, hold on. Yeah. What? Is that kid holding a walkie talkie? Whatever the Star Wars equivalent of a walkie talkie is, Spy on Sports, it appears that kid is holding a walkie talkie.
Yeah. It's not a Android or iPhone. So that's at least they're staying. I mean, that looks very 80s too, my engine. Look at the size of the antenna.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, I don't know about you, but the way that the girl in the background is wearing that like eye thing kind of reminds me of like an 80s vibe.
That's
of
like
what
Star
they,
Trek.
Yeah, oh, Star Trek or RoboCop or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, right, RoboCop, yeah. They're definitely leading hard into the Goonies vibe with that kid. Yeah, I mean, and maybe even Dustin from Stranger Things. And
yeah, they're exactly. Just,
they're full sending it into the 80s with this show. I'm okay with it.
Do you think this was kind of like my last thought on sort of the aesthetic of this show? Do you think they are purposely making this show with that vibe because of the success of Stranger Things?
Oh, absolutely.
It feels like.
Yeah, I think so. And this could be an easy win. I don't know if easy is the right word, but this could be a win because it feels like we're taking L's here and there with Star Wars. So this hopefully could be an easy like, oh, everyone just kind of enjoys this type of show.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty hopeful for it, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this will be, probably the. I'm trying to think of everything we've had this year. Was Bad Batch season 3 this year or last year?
It was the beginning of this year?
Like early 2024. Yeah, I would say with the exception of Bad Batch season 3, this will be the most successful Star Wars project of the year.
Oh.
Was Tales of the Empire this year too? Anyways.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of those shows later on.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the droid in the back left does resemble K2SO, yeah. I mean, the same type of droid, definitely. Although he's got the little, whatever you call it, the monocle thing going on there. But anyways, Skeleton Crew releases in less than a month's time on December 4th. Looking forward to watching that. And our reactions will be available here on YouTube when the show does come out week by week. By the way, I know we mentioned it, but if you haven't seen our reaction to the new trailer, we'll link that down in the show notes of today's episode. We do have one comment as well from last week's episode that we want to showcase. And for those watching live, including Spy on Sports in the chat, this comment is from you, from our last week's podcast episode, which was covering all things Star Wars collecting. And so Spy on Sports' comment on the last episode was, I've been collecting Star Wars stuff since I was 1 year old, born in 76 with a brother 8 years older. My brother and I had almost all the action figures, both 12-inch and 3 3/4-inch. We were not rough with our action figures, including G.I. Joes and Transformers. We most recently recreated scenes from the film or acted out our own storylines. We mostly recreated scenes from the film or acted out our own storylines. Unfortunately, we did open all of our toys, so any that remain are no longer mint in box. Sad face. I stopped collecting the action figures for the most part as an adult, but I did get my hands on the special edition Luke Skywalker that was given out to the first 100 or so people at the premiere of the re-release of Return of the Jedi in 97. That is a nice catch there. I would love to see what that looks like. We also collected the original Star Wars cards. I have continued to collect Star Wars cards and especially enjoy recent Chromium sets, such as Star Wars Chrome and Chrome Galaxy just released today. Over the years, I've picked up several different Star Wars collectibles, including a fair amount of Funko Pops. But an amazing fact, George Lucas only took a salary of $150,000 for Episode 4 in exchange for rights to all future sequels and rights to all merchandising. What a genius move by a true visionary. May the Force be with you. Yeah, I mean, I think we've had that discussion about George at some point in a previous episode, but just the foresight and like almost honestly, like the belief in himself to say, okay, well, you can pay me this low, $150,000, still quite a bit. But in terms of like, you know, blockbuster director salaries, it's low. You can pay me this low salary of $150,000, but I get all the rights to the merchandising. Like, just to have the belief in yourself and the foresight. I mean, that deal alone probably made him millions and millions, if not billions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, to make another deal later on, like to, I think, I don't know what percentage it is of what he was paid in by the acquisition of Disney was in Disney stock or Lucasfilm stock. I can't remember. But just like how even what he was paid from that continues to appreciate over time. And now he's worth, I don't know how much money, but.
And he still dresses like that. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's wearing like the same thing every time you see an interview with him, but.
Remember in our episode last week, we were talking about how Kenner was the ones that were the first action figures, the first toys mm-hmm. that produced these Star Wars figures.
Right.
And it's because other companies didn't want to take on that license. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about foresight, when you talk about really believing in yourself or in your product or in your vision, I mean, he really did, because he could have just completely biffed it and, you know, and he wouldn't have gotten made anything. Well, not made anything, but he, but yeah, to have that foresight for the future of the franchise is something else.
Yeah. Yeah. A true visionary, as Spy on Sports said. And Spy on Sports, we appreciate your comment from last week's episode. And again, those of you watching this podcast episode live or listening to it after the fact, let us know your thoughts on the question of the week that we mentioned earlier regarding if you like Star Wars movies or shows more. And we'll showcase those comments on next week's episode of the podcast. We also released a poll on the YouTube community tab as well as on X for what Star Wars do you collect? Over on YouTube, the leading vote getter was Funko Pops, beating out action figures, Lego, and memorabilia. Meanwhile, on X, it was actually a different result, with Lego getting the majority of the votes and Funko Pop and memorabilia coming in at a tied at second place. Meanwhile, action figures not getting much love over on X, but nonetheless, it does speak to a wide variety of things, the Star Wars things that people collect. So thank you to those of you that cast your votes in the poll, and stay tuned and keep a lookout for the Hoth Hangout community tab this week and the Hoth Hangout X profile for an opportunity to cast your vote in this week's poll. And we'll display those results as well during next week's episode of the podcast. And yeah, just to go back to that comment on Spy on Sports, that was before movie merchandising was a successful proposition. So it was like, you know, a pretty big gamble, pretty big risk. So a great point to be made there too. Well, kind of tying things together here with our conversations around collections from last podcast, before we begin our tier list that we're going to be doing today, ranking all the movies and shows, we did want to take a few minutes today to actually do a unlimited pre-release box opening. And I believe it's for the Twilight Republic set, Joey. Is that right?
That is correct. Twilight of the Republic is the third installation. And it's not Zoom. Yeah, there you go. The third installation of Star Wars Unlimited cards here. And yeah, we opened a couple of boxes. This is the pre-release set, the pre-release box, which is only 6 packs as opposed to, what was it? I think 36 packs maybe in the booster boxes. So we got a quick little six pack here. Not like me. I do not have a 6 pack, but these are much like the Pokemon cards that we've seen. You know, you can kind of use these for battle, pretty fun stuff. But yeah, and I know Spy and Sports mentioned the Chrome and the Chrome Galaxy. We would have loved to get our hands on some of those, but those are kind of expensive, Spy and Sports. So if your boss wants to hook it up with any of those, then we will gladly take them. But but yeah, like I said, this is the pre-release set. The actual set has also been released as well. So the story on these pre-release sets is, or these pre-release boxes, you get the 6 booster packs. You get two promotional cards. If you remember, Ben, there's like leader cards, so you get two mm-hmm. promotional leader cards, and just the set. You get the dice, you get the rules, everything about the game. So it's pretty fun, pretty good box here. So only 6 packs, so I think we can rip through these pretty quickly.
All right, but
yeah, let's take a quick look, and I'll show you kind of the contents and in what you have. So you do have a card box here where you can put all your cards in here. Open up. There's also a separate, and here's the promotional cards. We'll open those in a second.
Did you ever play Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon?
No, I never played.
I had those. I had so many of those deck boxes back then.
Those deck boxes, right? Yeah. So we can open. Here is it just the one? Maybe it's just the one. You can see here it is. We can open this up here.
And this is the promotional card you said.
Yeah. So here's your promotional, well, actually two of them. Here's one, here's the General Grievous card, which
oh,
is
nice.
The leader card. And then is the one that you want to see.
Ah, yes.
Ahsoka Tano, yeah. In the hyperspace.
cool card
you
art.
You see it has that hyperspace, So cool artwork, kind of what we like the most about it. Actually, that's interesting because the Grievous does not have the hyperspace. Yeah, so you could see the difference between the two. But yeah, so nice. Those are those two. Also comes with some of the playing pieces here. It gives you the rules about the game. And then here are the packs here.
You got six of them in total, you said?
Yeah, six of them in total. I've been watching like Box Breakers do this lately, so I've been waiting. I've been waiting for today so we can do it ourselves.
Nice. Well, as you're getting those ready and opened, I'll also like put a small plug out for some of our previous videos we've done with Box Breaks. I think we've done maybe, I want to say, four Box Breaks here on the channel, four or five maybe even.
Yeah, right.
In the past 2 years or so, and we've got a playlist available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel if you're interested in watching Box Breaks. So I'm going to give a quick shout out to that.
Some of the pack art here.
Oh, nice.
This is all like Clone Wars era. So you got there, you've got Asajj for one. I think those are the only two that I got. Oh, and actually the one I opened was a Yoda one here.
Ah, very cool. Look at how the card art looks like.
Yeah.
It's like hyper realism. I don't know if I like that.
That's like almost live action here. So
yeah.
Let's try to run through these pretty quick.
Star Trek The Next Generation was the one that Spy on Sports played or collected, I guess I should say.
We got Padme Sundari. Oh, wrong way. So just to give an idea of some of those here. Hold out Blaster. Doing Raid. Guarding the Way. Beating Guardian. So here is one of the hyperspace.
Nice.
You see the borders are a little bit hyperspace. We're still looking. We want to get those showcase cards, though, Ben, if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember the showcase ones.
So we're just going to go through all these. Obi-Wan. Hey, there's your ship that you got from Lego.
Oh, yeah.
Old Resistance. So yeah, some of the art is pretty cool. I'm going to take out that Prisoner of War. I don't know who that's supposed to be. Just in the States. Here's our holo. Brain Invaders, yeah. So yeah.
Nice. It seems like there's more cards per pack than the previous boxes we've done.
Yeah, this is 16 cards. I think that was about right.
I want to say like the ones that we formerly did were like 12, or were they always 16?
I think they might have been always 16, actually.
Oh.
I think it's because we're just going through each of them, so try to go through these a little bit quicker.
Oh, that's awesome. Is that a leader card?
That's a leader card, Jango Fett.
And it's a hyperspace.
Yeah. Lair Grievous. So they have a leader card and then like a location card to start. Yeah, so there are people that like go through these like really fast. I don't know how they do it. Just go towards some of the hits here. So here's another hyperspace. So with this not being a full box, you know, we won't get all the inserts that are guaranteed with the
mm-hmm.
Was that an Ahsoka card? Yeah, that was Ahsoka. Breaking in.
Saboteur.
And there's Lux Banteri.
Ooh.
Okay. Admiral Yularen. And Hollow is Outspoken Representative.
Nice. So while you're opening this third one, how long have you been collecting these Star Wars cards from various different sets?
Oh, for this one, you know, remember when the first set came out, I was able to get a box for the podcast. But then they ended up like rising in price like pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But every other set since then has been like kind of reasonable in pricing.
Yeah.
Still, that first edition set is still pretty up there, like $275 a box or something like that. Ooh. So, but I've been trying to at least keep up with like maybe just one box per set now.
Nice.
Crystal City.
You had a Newt Gunray to start off there too.
Okay. Yeah, so I mean, like you could see, like just all the different art here is just really cool. A lot of people enjoy that, and you know, obviously the gamification side of things is really awesome. Okay, So we'll just go to the end here with the rare. Jesse. And then I have the high ground. Look at that one. Nice.
That's nice, yeah. It's like a little bit of a meme card.
Yeah, right. And then the holo is World Guard Attaché.
Huh. Nice. Halfway down, what's your favorite card so far that you've pulled?
Oh, I don't know. I still like the Ahsoka Tano, the promotional card is probably the best one right now.
Mm.
So let's take a look at that one real quick. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. By the way, welcome in, Bevan.
Hey, Bevan. What's up? We're just opening some cards here.
Oh, that is a cool Anakin.
Look at that. That is a cool Anakin. Very cool. And then location cards, Pike Palace. My girl Ahsoka, I know, right? All right, so we're just going to go to the last two because that's the one we care about. Let's see, this is the rare.
Oh, you got a Finn.
Finn, nice. Let me see if there's any other hyperspace. Oh, there's a hyperspace card here.
Which one did you pull in that one?
Political pressure is the hyperspace.
Ooh, you got a Mon Calamari. And what was the other species on that planet? Ooh,
oh. Quarren or something like that?
Quarren, yeah.
Yeah. Self-destruct is the holo.
That's a cool-looking holo as well. All right, what is that? Two more packs now?
Two more to go.
Let's see. I'm feeling a Darth Maul in this pack, Joey.
Okay, you got Padme, Crystal City, and we'll just go through these. Ooh. See though, got hyperspace coming up. There's a hyperspace
droid or deployment hyperspace. By the way, those of you listening to the audio version, we're pulling cards right now. I don't know. Over on the YouTube version of the podcast.
It was on both sides. That's a cool one.
Huh.
With Lux right there afterwards. So I think the rare is this one. Sorry. Droid Manufactory.
Okay.
And then
there's a holo. What does that say? Petranaki Arena? Is that on Geonosis? I can't see.
It looks like it. Kind of looks like it, right? Is that where they all were?
Yeah, I had no idea the name of the arena in Attack of the Clones was called the Petranaki Arena. Right. And getting ready for the last one, welcome in Knifey, too.
Hey, Knifey.
The most interesting thing happening this evening. There is nothing else going on.
That's what
in
I
the
was
world.
Saying. Exactly what I said. Well, here he is, guys. Here's the Yoda we were looking for.
It's like the hyper real face. I don't know. Look, it's kind of like it almost reminds me of you know the other guy in Phantom Menace who sits on the council who's got like the one eye because he's got the scar.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the really big ears. That's almost like a mix between him and Yoda.
Right. Right. So here. Ooh, that's a cool one.
That is daughter Sajra of Night Sister.
It just says daughter of Dathomir, not nothing, no one specific.
Huh.
Human. Droid deployment.
Ooh, Magna Guard, nice.
Magna Guard's pretty cool. Here's another hyperspace. Tranquility. And drop in supply. Hollow.
Nice. Couple of
no showcase cards, but pretty cool. Fun stuff.
Very cool. Showcase cards this time, but hey, tune into our next box break that we'll release on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. You did get Ahsoka, the cool though. Promo Ahsoka card, yeah.
If anything, the pre-release box always comes with those promos, so not gonna complain about that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, best of luck to those of you who might be getting your hands on one of these packs as well. Hopefully you guys get some good pulls too. And, seeing some comments in the chat about the dark side and not having cookies. I don't know. I've been told the dark side does have cookies. I'm getting conflicting information.
Dark. It's dark. It's dark chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, there you go. What kind of cookies do you think they eat in the Star Wars universe? Whatever goes well with blue milk.
Well, didn't we find out that Grogu was eating macaroons? I mean, that's essentially a cookie, yeah?
Yeah. Grogu would be the expert on that question, though, so we'll have to maybe ask Grogu on some future, you know, Star Wars Celebration panel or something like that.
Yeah, when we go, for sure.
If the dark side is brownie batter cookies, I want to be on the dark side.
Wherever Oreos are, that's where I'll be.
Disappointing brand deal Oreos. Well, blue milk macarons. On that note, Joey, are you ready to rank every Star Wars movie and TV show on our tier list?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. As we've previously mentioned, at the top of today's episode, we have done this in various versions, but never a tier list. Every time we've done movies and TV shows, it's always been rankings. And so I think this is our first time doing an all-encompassing tier list where we've got all the films, all the shows, all in one. We welcome those of you watching live to give us your thoughts and feedback in chat. Try to maybe persuade us, if you can, towards putting it in one place or the other. And maybe just one more reminder before we officially begin. If you are watching the live version of the podcast, hit the like button. That would be great.
Oh my God, we did it. We did the thing.
Yeah. All right. Should we hop into it? Joey,
yeah.
We're just going to go in one by one in the order that it appears on the list. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, make it easier. Yeah, so the way the tier list goes, you have the various list tiers. S tier, obviously, being the highest tier. Then you got A, B, and C. And then something that we don't really enjoy is the Bantha Poodoo, mm-hmm. as said by Sebulba, I believe, in the prequels. And then, of course, then there's the unranked category. There is going to be a couple of shows here that maybe me and Ben have not seen. So if you have seen them, you know, let us know what you guys think of it, where they could be tiered. Especially things like, the droid show and some Ewoks things, from the early 80s, when Ben was, not around at all. So
not existing yet.
But yeah, let's just jump into it.
All right. Well, the first one on our list is Young Jedi Adventures. Gibbo putting it in S tier right off the bat. Oh,
yeah. By the way, Gibbo is the one that's controlling the board here. So even though we say anything, he may just veto us and just put it in wherever he believes.
Yeah. We've both seen. I think I've seen 4 episodes of this show. Did we watch this together or separately?
No, it was separate. It was separately. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I got to exactly 4 episodes of that show.
Yeah, it is the most marketed for kids show of anything on this list. So for that reason, it has a very particular audience. I didn't find it to be anything spectacular per se. It does have Yoda in the first episode, so that's kind of something. I don't know. I mean, where are you leaning towards putting this? I mean, I don't think it's Bantha Poodoo.
I also do not think Bantha Poodoo. But I mean, you know, if it's not there, then it would have to be C for sure.
Yeah, I'm comfortable starting off our list by putting Young Jedi Adventures at C if you are.
Yeah, that's fine by me. Yeah, one thing. Yeah, so Bevan here says my kids were not interested at all. So her kids even weren't interested. I do have a neighbor who actually does enjoy it. Their little boy is probably about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. So maybe that is the demographic that we need to hit. And you and I are both multiples of a 4-year old, you know. So, not our demographic, not for us.
No, but fun fact, do you know my original due date was February 29th in a leap year? So In a potential reality, I could be 7 years old right now, and this would be perfect for me. But
what a did I ever tell you the story about the person? And did I say that's fine? I found out there's somebody that actually had their birthday on February 29th, but their parents never told them, so they said their birthday was February 28th for like years, and then recently found out that her birthday was on the 29th because for whatever reason. So they decided to not.
She divided her age by four in that case?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do, right? I think that's just the rule.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's not allowed to drive or vote or drink or anything now.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of young kids, we get a young Anakin in our second one on this list, the Phantom Menace. He would have loved Young Jedi Adventures, I think.
Yeah. Laser sword? Is that what he called it?
Yeah. Laser sword. I will advocate for the Phantom Menace, even though most people will trash it. I think it is not the worst prequel film. I personally love Darth Maul. He, sure. I think, deservedly so, was brought kind of back into, you know, the lifeblood of Star Wars with the Clone Wars series, and then even later on with Rebels, and now he's very much like a household Star Wars name, in more than just the Phantom Menace. But with this film itself, I think a valid criticism is that it does focus on like the politics of Star Wars too much.
Ironic.
There's nothing political going on today on Tuesday, November 5th, by the way. But I honestly don't mind that. I think it's the fans, like the diehard fans of the original trilogy, I find are the ones that really don't like that oftentimes. And so I would love to advocate for this being on B, but okay. I will hear arguments against that.
I don't know if I have an argument against that, honestly. I mean, I think you, maybe you and I are pretty in line for the most part. I would love to hear from Chad if they had any other thoughts on if it should not be in B. But I you know, for the same reason, I mean, if anything, Qui-Gon is a great character. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see early Ewan McGregor in that role for Obi-Wan, Darth Maul, and here's how big Darth Maul is. And maybe this is more of a Star Wars thing, like a Star Wars fandom thing, but everybody knows Rick Park, you know, because this is one of his big roles, you know. And he was, you know, he had what, maybe three lines in it? I don't know. But just the presence of him. And like you said, they had to bring him back in several different instances after that. So, I mean, I would be actually fine with it being in B. Not in A for sure. And I wouldn't put it with next to Young Jedi Adventures, but I think B is a solid spot for it.
Lord Galvatron said C for carried by Duel of the Fates. I will say, I think you could make
that's huge too, though.
I think you can make the case that Duel of the Fates is what makes it a B instead of a C.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I we can move stuff around kind of as we go, but Darth Maul's death in Phantom Menace is more abrupt than even Boba Fett's. Ooh, I don't know. I mean, it was at the conclusion of an epic, arguably the most epic battle in Star Wars history.
Yeah. Boba Fett fell in a hole. I mean, after somebody who had a vision, you know, impaired, like, you know, Han just accidentally hits him.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to that last comment from Spy on Sports about a dog being born on leap day. Would you multiply by 7 and then divide by 4?
My like brain that. Just broke.
Yeah.
Just broke.
All right. What do we have next? Clone Wars. Now, is this the... I think this is the movie, not the TV show.
This looks like the movie. Yes.
I've seen the movie, I think, twice in my life.
Saying, I may have seen it a couple more times.
And I want to say that I enjoyed it, but you instantly enjoy it less once you watch the show. So I don't know where if I'm going from what we have on the board already, I like Phantom Menace more than the Clone Wars movie, but I like the Clone Wars movie more than Young Jedi Adventures. So I don't know where, if that lands us at the bottom of B or the top of C. What are you thinking?
I would put it at top of C, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that could be switched around based off what we discover from what we put in C, but I think that's where I would land with me.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Here's an idea. Don't name two animated projects the same thing. Yeah, it is super confusing that there is the Clone Wars and the Clone Wars, and one of them's a movie and one of them's a TV show. Yeah.
Right.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but man, is the animation shaky. That's another good point. Like,
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
When you watch season 7 of the show, like, they're using mocap for the lightsaber fights. And
so
season 1 of the show and the movie are both like, ooh, the animation is like, feels dated when you watch it. So,
top 5 lightsaber? Was that a top 5 lightsaber moment in season 7?
Oh, in season 7 of Clone Wars? Absolutely. I mean, speaking of, that's the next one on our list. We can go ahead and rank it. This is tough. Here's the thing. This is the whole show we're talking about, right? I mean, the image is of season 7, but it's the whole show. For me, I would put this on S tier.
Okay.
I think this is the best animated Star Wars project ever created. If you're looking at like the entirety of it in its wholeness, I like Clone Wars. I mean, I love Rebels, don't get me wrong, but if I'm looking at every Star Wars animated project, I would personally say this is the best one, and I think it still holds up to this day. But I guess I could hear arguments for it not being at S and maybe on A. What are you feeling?
If you break down, you know, the Star Wars in movies, TV shows like live action, and then animated shows, this is easily the best animated show, right? So to put it at S, I think there's no question with that.
Okay, yeah, I'm feeling good about that. Bevan says S in chat as well. Which one of those is the Hutt nephew kidnapping?
Is that the movie?
I thought it was the show.
Maybe it was the show.
Yeah.
Who got us? Who remembers exactly when that was?
Because I thought the Hutt nephew getting kidnapped was like an arc, not part of the movie. But maybe I'm misremembering. I do remember watching that, though.
Bevan.
If they can somewhat save the prequels, it's an auto god tier. The series deserves to be ranked highly, if for no other reason than its longevity and influence. That's a great point. Like
that's a huge point.
Yeah, it really like shaped the direction of what Star Wars was to become, and so many other projects borrow from it. For Ahsoka alone, S tier. Oh yeah, Ahsoka in the Clone Wars.
That's where she came from, right? So
right, and this is a good point to bring up too. Like, in the movie, she's really annoying, and even like a lot of the first season, she's kind of that same way. And I think it's between seasons 1 and 2 of the Clone Wars where the character of Ahsoka really changes from like this whiny, annoying sidekick, and they really start to like actually develop her as a character. I don't think
Bevan likes that.
I'm sensing some rebuttals to that statement. I thought this is coming from someone whose favorite character is Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. I thought in the Clone Wars movie, she does feel like a little bit, you know. Yeah, exactly. Like, she earned the Snips nickname. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
And I mean, it's the formula. It's the Star Wars formula. Whoever's going to be your main good guy, your good girl, it's going to be, they're going to start off annoying. That just seems what happens.
Yeah.
Look at
Omega.
Luke. Omega.
Yeah.
Ahsoka. You know, so I think that's
pick up some power converters.
Oh my god, Uncle Ben.
Revenge of the Sith is next. Ooh, I mean, like, for me,
yeah.
I mean, I'll hear what you have to say on this one, Joey. But I'm curious because I know exactly where I would put this.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
So Leia, I'll start with it. So Revenge of the Sith, I mean, easily the best of the prequels, right? Gibbo feels like it should be in the A, looks like, or A or B.
No, I'm just playing.
I think you're just playing. Okay.
Before that, so I'm just playing.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm definitely the best of the prequels. If it could be, I don't know if I could put it A, though. I don't know if I could put it A. It definitely is an S. I don't know
say,
if I could put
did
it
you say
A.
Is or is not?
Is not what? Is not A. I don't think it's A. I would do high B. I would do high B.
Man.
If not for any other reason, just to make you upset with me. This is the last episode of the podcast, guys.
So when we were doing our movie rankings episode, I don't know what episode it was, but I personally, this is my personal second favorite Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. So like for me, I'm like, if I'm putting New Hope on, actually, I don't know if I would put New Hope on S, but I actually like Revenge of the Sith more than New Hope.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is easy A for you.
Yeah, like I'm closer to S than B personally.
Oh, okay.
I love Revenge of the Sith. I think it's you said.
I think we need chat for this one. What does chat think? Does this A or
is this like the one where Anakin and Padme frolic in the weeds? No, that's Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one where Anakin kills children, yeah. So this is the best prequel movie, hands down. It's funny because in preparation for this episode, I went to my Discord server and I found a message that I had created on October 22nd of 2020. So this message is 4 years old. And it was simply ranking all of the Star Wars movies. And in that list, I had Revenge of the Sith at 3. And I think if I was to do my list today, it would be at 2. I think I do like it more than New Hope.
Okay.
I'm feeling A tier at like, I don't know if I could subject it to the B tier.
Yeah. And it looks like Chad is also agreeing with you. So I've been vetoed, it appears.
What, Lord Galvatron and Spy on Sports are feeling A?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's true. If we put it in S tier, it would have the high ground. So, true. I mean, I don't know. We can always come back and adjust these. This next one is I feel like a very polarizing one. Mm-hmm. I have heard of people who like hate Solo. They think it's like the worst Star Wars movie, worse than any of the sequels. And I didn't think Solo was amazing, but I also didn't think it was awful, like a lot of people seem to. I think it's, again, this is a case of like taking a really beloved character like Han Solo and, you know, doing anything to it presents an opportunity for people to kind of hate on it. Okay, let me ask you, do you like Solo or Phantom Menace more? Because I'm kind of like flirting in that area.
I probably like Phantom Menace more.
I do too.
Yeah, I like Phantom Menace more. I don't think it belongs in C. I think it would be B, like after Phantom Menace.
I'm cool with that spot. That was kind of where I was thinking as well. Spy on Sports is feeling Solo over Phantom Menace. I need to watch Solo again. I've still only seen this movie once, actually. It deserves another watch through on my part. But what do we got next? Tales of the Jedi? Is that what that is? Man, it's really hard.
To mix the TV shows like that.
Right. Because then you're getting,
along with the movies.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is like 90 minutes of a TV show. Like the entire TV, the entire season is 90 minutes long.
Right.
You know, like,
well, so the movies, 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point. Except for the stories in Tales of the Jedi are like two separate ones and don't really follow like perfectly,
right?
You know, chronologically, they're over a lifespan of these people. I think part of what makes Tales of the Jedi so good is that it came out of nowhere. If you recall when they first released this, I don't know if it was just like under our radar. We had already started podcasting at that time.
Yeah.
And it came out and we were like, wait, who said this was coming out? Where did this come from? And then we watched it and it was like, we get Dooku and Ahsoka stories. And so here's kind of what I'm thinking. I like Revenge of the Sith more than Tales of the Jedi.
Oh, you're going to get up there. Okay.
Where were you thinking?
Oh, I'm just talking out loud.
Okay. But see, here's the thing. I love Revenge of the Sith and Tales of the Jedi so much that you could convince me to put them both on S.
Oh, my word. Okay.
I guess my S tier is like very inclusive.
Very vast.
Yeah, too many shows on my S tier. But
right.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm trying to, because it's more relevant because it's newer to us, you know, within the past couple of years, I'm trying to take that element out, you know, when I'm talking about it. But even with that, you know, factor, if you factor that out, I feel it's just like a really good show. I remember when you and I were watching our reactions to some of the, especially the Ahsoka one, how like, you know, flabbergasted or like just amazed by it. So yeah, I think I would also put it at the mid to lower A. Better than Revenge of the Sith? No, I can't put it better than Revenge of the Sith. So I think at this point, this is where I'd put it.
Okay. Is that Kenobi, I think, that's next? This is another one I've still only seen one time all the way through. I mean, this is maybe a controversial statement, and I don't know if a lot of people would agree with this. I kind of want to put Kenobi below Solo. Is that bad to say?
Kenobi below Solo. Okay.
Yeah. Like, again, it's hard to put movies and TV shows and like equate them on the same list. Oh, see, like Lord Galvatron really liked Kenobi.
Where would you put it, Lord Galvatron? I mean, the storyline. I mean, there were some clunky things about it. We can go on about Leia, little baby Leia, just outrunning Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was kind of weird. Was that the one with the guy, the group the guy with the spinning shot, like we're playing Fortnite or something. So there are some things there, but the Vader and Kenobi scenes that they had, I think, were really cool. I think, well, the introduction of the Inquisitors in live action, I thought, was really good. So I would put it above Solo. Would I put it above Phantom Menace?
I'm okay with moving it above Solo. I love Episode One too much to put it above that. But if I could hear you out for moving it above Phantom Menace,
right? Yeah, I would definitely put it between those two. I think I could be talked into Phantom Menace, but that would be a longer episode.
Okay. What's up next? Let's see. Is that Rebels we've got next? Star Wars Rebels next.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'm going S. I think Rebels is the most underrated Star Wars project.
Mm-hmm.
To be consistent with my previous statement about Clone Wars being the best animated show of all time, I'll put it below Clone Wars, but there's not much of a gap between those two. The two shows kind of go together in many ways.
Yeah.
So again, I love Star Wars Rebels. It's one of these shows that I feel like continued to get better every season, which is so rare for not just Star Wars, but like anything. And it gets surprisingly like slightly more but mature as it goes on, but also just a lot more deep and meaningful, I feel like, is the best way.
Bevan says, I'd say high B, but oh my God, so much filler. There is some filler in Rebels, but yeah, I mean, they're definitely filler in Clone Wars too. let's be honest.
Right.
If I had to see another like droid episode or arc, I would just be like, I'm good. But I think with Rebels, I mean, you know how I feel about this particular series, the connection that they have, the family feelings that they have. Yeah, mom and dad and Hera and Kanan and the bratty kids along with them. And I mean, you brought in Ahsoka, you brought in, and I talked about this before. This was before I really even got into like Clone Wars. So I didn't realize how huge the Ahsoka part was in that series. But I enjoyed it. I would put it at S tier. Again, not above Clone Wars, but I would put it there.
Yeah, I also think a lot of the filler episodes do feel like they're earlier on in the show. So if you can make it past like season one and two, I feel like, again, the later it gets into this show, the more it seems to filter out a lot of that filler, and it gets like more centered on the main plot and the mature themes. Like when you get Darth Maul coming into Rebels, The Twilight of an Apprentice, part one and part two episodes. I think that's the end of season two, I want to say.
Is that with Vader?
Yeah. Oh, such a good episode. I love, love, love that episode. I still, like, I'll rewatch it usually, like, once
a year.
All right,
Bevan, you gotta go watch all of this again, then.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna hold you to it.
Force Awakens is up next. This one, okay, I would make the case this is the best sequel film. I think a lot of people would probably agree with that. I mean, I don't know. Is there anyone listening or watching live who thinks that episode 8 or episode 9 is the best sequel film? I would be curious to know that.
You've been forgiven by Bevan, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Bevan. Thank you. See, like, Lord Galvatron doesn't think Force Awakens is the best sequel film.
I'm kind of there too, actually.
Really? Do you like Last Jedi the most?
I think I like Last Jedi the most, yeah.
Okay.
It's not like a ton, mm-hmm. but I think if you gave me the two, I think I would rather watch Last Jedi again than Phantom Menace. I'm not Phantom Menace, Force Awakens.
See, I got him thinking about episode one. But here's the thing. I actually respect the opinion that The Last Jedi is the best sequel film, even though I probably like Force Awakens more, because I think Force Awakens is probably a better made movie. I would also make the case that it does nothing to attempt to be original. And so on that merit alone, I think The Last Jedi is really the only of the sequel trilogy films that, like, tries to be provocative. Not that a movie necessarily should be trying to do that.
Yeah.
But like, episode 7 is literally just New Hope with different characters. And episode 9 is just, I mean, I have a lot of criticisms of episode 9. So I can respect the argument that Last Jedi is the best sequel film. In fact, Lord Galvatron said that it's their favorite Star Wars movie. Man. I mean, where are we putting Force Awakens before we start talking about the Last Jedi?
Force Awakens, yeah. I mean, I put it in B.
Yeah, I would as well.
Lower end of B.
I like it more than Kenobi.
I like it more than Kenobi. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, more than Kenobi. Do I like it more than Phantom Menace? No, I don't like more than Phantom Menace. So, yeah, between Phantom Menace and Kenobi.
I'm so surprised. I thought you were going to say you do like it more than Phantom Menace. I'm cool at this spot.
I mean, for the same reasons, no originality, and then Phantom Menace has Duel of the Fates and Darth Maul, so
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Wherever you would have A New Hope, put it there. They should be right next to each other. I mean, they're the same movie, but I would argue
that's true.
Force Awakens probably deserves to be lower for that reason, because it doesn't really do anything to, like, you know, be original. Anyways, we've got New Hope actually coming up here in just two or three movies, but here's another really polarizing.
These next two are good ones.
Yeah, I know both of us are really high on both of these. These next two are Andor and Rogue One. It's kind of nice that they come next to each other on this list, because obviously the show and the film kind of go together in many ways. Andor. Here's the thing. So with the list that we've created, again, for my personal list, I would probably have Revenge of the Sith at S. But because I like Revenge of the Sith more than Andor, I would probably have to put Andor on A. Are you as high on Andor as I am, or would you want to put it higher or lower?
I would put it on A with this current lineup. I would put it above. Revenge of the Jedi. I would put it above Tales of the Jedi.
I would too, actually.
I would not put it above Revenge of the Sith.
I like this spot. I think, yeah. So I have a friend who actually listens to the podcast relatively frequently, and a couple weeks back in person, she's like, I'm sorry, I think Andor is the worst Star Wars show. And I was like,
yeah,
hey,
I want to say when we had Laura on from one of our Jedi Knights roundtable. I don't think she liked Andor, if I'm not mistaken. I could be
right.
Wrong.
I could be
blasphemy. I'm sorry, Laura, if you're out there and I'm wrong, my bad.
Well, the film that kind of goes hand in hand with the timeline of Andor is Rogue One. And I think it's, I would probably say this is the most underrated Star Wars movie. I kind of gave that title to Rebels as the show, but I think for films, I would make the case Rogue One is the most underrated film. Again, mm-hmm. I think it's in many people's lists, it's worthy of an S. Mm-hmm. I personally don't like it more than Revenge of the Sith, but I think you do.
I do.
I do. Yeah, I know you're really high on this movie.
Yeah, Lord Gavin Chan said Rogue One's S. So I mean, I wouldn't disagree with that. I would say S. I couldn't even tell you where though.
Do you like it more or less than Rebels?
I like Rogue One a lot. So I might actually. Wow, I've never made this statement. I think I would put it above. I would put it above Rebels. Oh wow!
Gibbo thought you were gonna say above Clone Wars.
I don't know about that. That's a lot.
I don't know. Here's the thing. It is. I think in terms of the quality of the film, you could actually sell me on the point that is the most well made Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at it from the perspective of like us, like one of those like snobby movie critics who's like, yes, this will do really well at the Oscars this year. Like if you look at all, whatever it is, 11 Star Wars films and like which one probably deserves, like is most Oscar worthy. I think you can make the case that it would be Rogue One. Now, with the caveat mm-hmm. that like the original trilogy was so, you know, innovative for its time, of course.
Right.
All I'm saying is
the visuals, yes, all of that.
I think if Rogue One is S, I think Revenge of the Sith needs to be
I knew it.
At the bottom of S, at the very least.
I'm willing, as this is a Hoth hangout tier list, I'm willing to concede.
Do you want to keep it at A, and then at the very end we can see if we have a lot of A's or a lot of S's, and then we can move it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. A New Hope, the film that started it all. I mean, I like A New Hope more than both The Force Awakens, and actually, I do like A New Hope more than Phantom Menace, as much as I tend to hold Episode 1 up on a pedestal. I just think it's the original. I personally lean towards low A here. I don't know what you're feeling, though.
Say again, on A? You're thinking on A?
Yeah, like low A.
Low A, though?
Are you thinking high A, you mean?
Oh, I would say, I would say high A for me. I mean, this is a generational thing now here, though. Something I grew up on where you watched Episode 2 first for all the Star Wars. So I think we're just different experiences. I mean, where's our middle ground?
I can actually, because it's like the thing that started it all, I think you could make the case that it like receives some like higher praise because it's like, it is the original. So I would be comfortable putting it above, definitely above Tales of the Jedi and probably mm-hmm. above Andor too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Here's the thing. If we end up moving Revenge of the Sith to S, uh-huh. then New Hope is top of A. So I think I'm fine with this.
Okay, yeah, I like where we put it here, kind of at like near the top of A, right below Revenge of the Sith.
Bevan says, "How much are you guys dying right inside right now with these ratings?" I mean, some of them, because these are personal, you know.
Right.
These are actually personal. But having two people of different generations try to put together the same list has its challenges.
We need to like incorporate a Gen Z third host sometime who's like. Mm-hmm. I think
Lord Galvatran might be that guy, actually.
Yeah. What do we got? Return of the Jedi or Revenge of the Jedi, as it was originally supposed to be called? You like this movie. This is your favorite Star Wars movie.
This is my number one favorite Star Wars movie.
Wow. So on your list, you would have Return of the Jedi above Rogue One.
Yes.
I would. Oh. See,
And but remember though, this is my Star Wars, right? And I'm not like lessening it by any means, but this is my Star Wars, so that's why I would say Return of the Jedi would be up there for me. But because this is peak Luke. I love the scene with before they change some things, you know, Vader tossing the Emperor. This is before he yells no. But like that whole part, the everything on Endor, everything. Beautiful.
So on one hand, I kind of want to say that this should have a high spot because I think this is always why I thought it's interesting that you liked Return of the Jedi so much, is because amongst original trilogy fans, mm-hmm. more often than not, this tends to be the one that they like the least.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's like Empire is like the greatest gift to mankind, and like New Hope is usually the second favorite, and Return of the Jedi. I've never really understood the sentiment behind why it feels like it's liked so much.
It's the Ewoks. Probably the Ewoks.
Is it really just the Ewoks? I mean, I think the Ewoks are lovable and cute, but I know you would have put this on S so bad.
That's mine, but I understand. Here's the thing. I also understand that from the original trilogy, that would probably be the least, you know, like you said, the lowest rating one.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm looking at this list that we are, just the things that are on the board, I like Clone Wars, Rogue One, Rebels, and Revenge of the Sith more than Return of the Jedi personally.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. What are you feeling?
I mean, if this goes...
Those of you watching live, should Return of the Jedi be S tier or A tier?
Like, here's the thing. Like, I know it shouldn't be. That's the thing. Like, I know it shouldn't be, but I got at least... especially on today, give my vote and say that that's what I would want it to be. Okay. But like realistically speaking now, let's back it up a bit. Probably top of A.
Okay. We can debate later whether Revenge of the Sith or Return of the Jedi belongs higher on this list.
But yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you can drop it there. That's fine.
I think this next one is called Forces of Destiny. These are shorts, right?
These are the shorts, yes.
I want to say I've seen one or two of these, but
there's
an
Ahsoka one in there, yeah.
Is there really? I thought this was like a sequel trilogy thing.
No. It's all across all eras.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think the one I saw was Rey, I want to say.
Yeah, there's Rey, there's Hera, there's Sabine, there's some Leia. Yeah, they got them all in there.
I mean, I think I've only seen one episode, so I don't have enough information to like actually rate this one. Where would you want to put it?
I mean, I probably put it at C. It was just kind of there for me. I mean, I remember enjoying the stories out, you know, because they were like real. I mean, they were shorts. They were definitely shorts. I'd put it probably between the Clone Wars movie and then Young Jedi Adventures. Because they were like short, like five, six minute stories, just with each of the characters there. Nothing too profound or anything that, you know, really sticks in memory, but it's just there.
You want to do Acolyte next? It's next on our list.
Might as well. I mean, it's poof.
Okay, here's the question. We haven't put anything in Bantha Poodoo yet, by the way.
True.
I mean, so here's the thing. If we put Acolyte in Bantha Poodoo, are we admitting that it's worse than Young Jedi Adventures?
I mean, that's what that means, yes.
Okay, I feel like SABC is more like an objective standard, and Bantha Poodoo is like subjectively, I did not like that thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, where do you want to put Acolyte? I guess I'll just ask it straight and simple.
You want me to be a bad guy, huh? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't think Bantha Poodoo. I think it was not the best for sure, but it had its moments. There were things that I really did want to know about later on. Would I put it in Bantha Poodoo though? I know I just said I wouldn't, but I don't know. just because it's because there were so many issues with it as well.
Are you between C and Bantha Poodoo? Is that
Well, like probably like mid C, I would say.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Either. I mean, I haven't seen Forces of Destiny, but probably somewhere between the Clone Wars movie and Young Jedi Adventures, or just sticking it on Bantha Poodoo because, you know,
that's just what, because something's got to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean, let's just put it. Let's just put it there.
Like,
just, put it there.
If anything on this list is going to be in Bantha Poodoo, wouldn't it be that?
There's one more.
there might be one more that I'm not seeing yet. I guess we'll get to it.
But yeah, let's just put it there, just so we have a nice full list here.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is, let's see, what do we got? Is it Mandalorian? I think it's Mandalorian. Yeah. Mandalorian. Oh man, this would be the last season. It'd be such a different conversation without the third season. I would argue that before the third season, this was even venturing into S tier for me.
Sure.
Bottom of A? That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, I'm thinking bottom of A.
How do you feel about Mando versus Andor?
That's exactly what I was looking at.
Yeah.
I think with what we've been given, I would put Andor above it right now because we had the one season. We were blown away by it.
I would too.
So as a whole, I think that's where I would put it.
I like this. Okay, I like this. Book of Boba Fett. Now, can we put it on Bantha Poodoo? Because we had two really good Mando episodes here.
That's true. way to go, guys. That was rough.
I personally, so if we're talking about comparing it to just the TV shows for a second, I thought the story for Kenobi was worse, but I enjoyed Kenobi more.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I'm feeling about the comparison of those two shows. What are you thinking?
I mean, I agree with that sentiment for sure, but boy, was that rough. Like, I couldn't tell you much about that show right now, you know? Like, if you said, you know, I think if we had a trivia episode, I guess if whenever we have trivia episodes, we do terribly. But if there's a Boba Fett category, I think we would actually just be terrible at it. Because it didn't seem like anything memorable for me happened in that show.
Yeah, and they really... They really changed the character of Boba Fett in a pretty profound way. Like, as you know, someone who is a fan of the original trilogy, Joey, I mean, do you see him in a pretty different light after this show? Or do you feel like the show is just kind of discounted as being the actual Boba Fett?
I think, well, for one, with me being, you know, original trilogy stan, you know, loved it the most. Boba Fett really never, I never really connected with Boba Fett. As much as like a lot of other people did in my generation.
Yeah, you're a Lando guy.
Maybe I'm not the guy. Did you see that 360? Was that in Boba Fett or was that in Kenobi?
It was Boba Fett. He goes,
Boba Fett. Okay, yeah.
With the Power Ranger guys.
Yeah. I think. Oh boy. I mean, if that dropped down to C, I wouldn't even flinch.
I think I'm good with it on C.
Yeah, like top of C.
Yeah, I mean, I think it either belongs at bottom of B or top of C.
Yeah, let's put it in bottom top of C.
Okay. Ahsoka. I think you and I are slightly higher on this than most people are. I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you wanting to put Ahsoka?
Well, I think it's an easy A for sure. Where it belongs. Oh boy.
I think this show could even move higher on our list, depending on what they do with the Thrawn storyline.
Yeah, I agree. And with Baylan, dang. I was just talking about that the other day. The whole Baylan part.
Yeah. I honestly think Andor, Mando, and Ahsoka are the three they're the three best live action shows. I think a lot of people would have Ahsoka lower. I think a lot of people would have Andor lower. I think most people are relatively high on Mando. Do you like Ahsoka or Mando more?
I think I put Ahsoka higher.
Okay, man, that's like a pretty big one too, because again, before season three, I would have had Mando above Andor and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm comfortable putting it between the two of them.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Bad Batch. I will advocate for Bad Batch. This should be I mean, I don't think it's S, but I think it should be A tier. Yeah.
I think A tier also. Ooh, I don't know if I can put it above the three live actions though.
Yeah, I like it more than Tales of the Jedi. As great as Tales of the Jedi is, it's such a small amount of like content that it's hard to put it higher because it doesn't feel like you're comparing like apples and oranges. It's like here's three seasons of Bad Batch and here's six 15-minute episodes of Tales of the Jedi. I'm comfortable with Bad Batch right there, kind of near the bottom of A tier, but man, actually, I would almost be willing to recant the statement of Rebels being the most underrated animated show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think a lot more people know that Rebels is good than the amount of people that know that Bad Batch is good. Especially Lord the Galvatron, third.
Lord Galvatron said, Bantha Poodoo, because it made me cry.
it's got a very significant moment in this show where it's like, wait, what? Like where the emotion really hits you. They make it happen in a really impactful way. I like Bad Batch on A tier. Resistance. I actually just watched this for the first time, like what, 3 months ago or so. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Having said that, I would be willing to go as high as B tier, but
yeah, same.
I actually do think I liked it more than Book of Boba Fett. I don't think I liked it more than Solo, though. I'm liking kind of the bottom of B. What are you thinking?
Yeah, bottom of B as well. Yeah, I think I like Solo more than Resistance. And again, it's difficult because it's, you know, two full seasons of a show and then like, you know, a two and a half hour movie.
Right.
You have to compare it against two. But even with the amount of time that you could, Resistance could have overtaken it, I still don't think it did with Solo. And there goes Grogu.
Grogu just took a tumble.
He was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep.
Oh, man. Attack of the Clones is next. Here's the thing. Like, as films age, do they just automatically become better because they're, like, vintage?
Nostalgic?
Yeah. Right. Like, I don't think this deserves to be higher than Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it deserves to be higher than Force Awakens. I think, so again, I know I've shared this many times before on this podcast. This was the first Star Wars movie I ever saw, sadly. So for the nostalgic value, I would probably put it above Kenobi. But I think in terms of the quality of it, I'm not sure it deserves that spot.
Right. I have no problem it being in B. Well, do I?
is it a high C tier?
I'm not against that.
Here's the thing though, like when you compare it with the bottom of B tier, Star Wars Resistance.
Right, yeah.
Like
Star Wars Resistance. Yeah, right. I don't think I put it above that. So does that mean Star Wars Resistance goes lower or?
Oh, you're saying Attack of the Clones and Star Wars Resistance to C tier?
Yeah, that's what I'm contemplating now.
So would you have Attack of the Clones higher or lower than Resistance?
Higher than Resistance.
Okay, I don't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably where. Much like the Return of the Jedi being at A, at the top of A, I think that's just the same.
Yeah.
The same feel that I have for that.
The dialogue in Attack of the Clones is oftentimes so bad, and there's the whole just Anakin Padme romance that feels like it makes this movie almost unbearable at times.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the only reason I would want to move it up to the bottom of B is like the Geonosis scene is really cool.
True. Okay, you sold me. Bottom of B on that one.
Oh wow, that was an easy sell.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta get that one scene that you're just like, okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then of course, like seeing Yoda flip around on the screen. I know it was the first time they did him in CGI, and a lot of people hated it. Man,
I had no problem.
6-year-old me loved that.
I had no problem with it.
Here's another big one. Last Jedi. This is again many people's least favorite, but many people's favorite sequel film.
Yeah,
I think easily.
Can I start with this one?
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I would not mind it on B. I think B would be fine. I don't think it's gonna go on A.
Lord Galvatron's gonna riot if you don't put it on S.
Yeah. I think it's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
I think that alone is amazing. They tried new things. We talked about this. They tried new things with this movie. Did they all execute perfectly? Don't know about that. But I think they had they did a pretty good job there. Definitely above Force Awakens. I would put it above Phantom Menace. I would put it at a high B.
Oh.
Wait. Phantom Menace? I'm sorry. I was thinking Attack of the Clones. Never mind. I would keep it below Phantom Menace. So yeah, I would put it around there.
So I'm comfortable with this spot, and I would like to note that 4 years ago, Last Jedi was my second least favorite Star Wars film. And I now think I do like it more than Solo. See, like this Solo and Attack of the Clones are all like in the same category for me now.
Yeah.
Personally. Whereas like 4 years ago I was like, this is easily my second least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm comfortable with it in that spot.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, if you know, this is a preference thing. We have Last Jedi and Force Awakens right next to each other. Those easily can flip flop depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think I would still say Force Awakens is my favorite sequel film, but it is definitely the least original. So I'm okay with putting it in this order. Ooh, Rise of Skywalker.
I think we have to.
Give us saying S tier. I want to advocate for this being worse than The Acolyte. Not to hate on the Rise of Skywalker too much, but I think,
wow,
like as much as people hate on the sequels, you can always make the case that The Force Awakens is a well-made film, even though it wasn't original. You can always make the case that The Last Jedi tried to do new things, even if it didn't always succeed. It wasn't trying to just like be formulaic in the way it told its story. And it was genuinely surprising at parts. There were things that happened that were unexpected. The Rise of Skywalker is not only a complete mess of a plot. The story is jumbled. It is like scraping together the remnants of episode 8. And it's like, all right, get rid of this, do this from episode 7, just mash it all together, and we're going to pretend it's a good movie. And I genuinely, again, I've shared this story before on the podcast, I walked out of this film feeling incredibly sad. My thought was like, I can't believe I just watched like the destruction of Star Wars. Lord Galvatron also said, I love this out of the theater. The more I think about it, the worse it gets to the point where it's one of my least favorite Star Wars movies, and that's from a diehard sequel lover. Yeah, I mean, so even as someone who loves the sequels, this would be your, it sounds like your least favorite sequel film.
can I mention something funny right now as I read that comment? Mm-hmm. I thought that read diehard sequel lover, like Die Hard, the movie.
Oh.
I thought, I'm like, oh, why are we talking about Die Hard? No.
They made another one.
Yeah, I agree with Lord Galvatron there. I actually didn't, you know, coming out of it, I was like, okay, you know, those were some choices made. Some of the things were kind of crazy, but at the end of it, I was like, oh, that was kind of crazy fun for me. But then the more time I take away from it, I'm like, ooh, that was a hot mess all over.
I watched this with my brothers and dad, and they're not as they like Star Wars, but they're not, you know, they see the movies and it's like, okay, we're done. I remember them not understanding why I was so sad at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't get it. They ruined it. They, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is a really cool, like, final battle. It just didn't feel like the plot made sense. And then there's like,
right,
you know, like the Force heal stuff and like, oh, you're fine, mm-hmm. but wait, I'm going to die now. It's like, yeah. I just.
Then they kissed like in there too. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually do need to watch this again. I've still only seen it twice. I really want to. So Mariah and I watched half of The Last Jedi so far. Mm-hmm. And I really want to watch this movie with her because I have such low opinions of it that I need to get a fresh perspective on it from someone who's never seen it. Anyways, that's Rise of Skywalker. What's up next? Tales of the Empire? I would make the case not as good as Tales of the Jedi.
Definitely.
I don't think I would have this in A tier, would you?
I wouldn't have it in A tier, no. Because that was with Barriss Offee and then
Morgan Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth, yeah.
I loved the Barriss stuff. I felt very indifferent about the Morgan Elsbeth episodes.
Mm-hmm. I'd put it in B, somewhere in B.
Do you like it? It's so hard to compare this to something like Kenobi, but I was kind of thinking maybe more than Kenobi.
More than Kenobi, really? Okay.
Yeah, but I could be swayed the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put it there. I think we put it kind of just smack dab in the middle of B.
Yeah. Okay. Man, we've only got a couple more on the list here. And a lot of them are ones that we've never seen, too. Wait, what is this? Is this
the holiday special? The Star Wars holiday special.
See, like, there's a part of me that wants to put this on Bantha Poodoo. By the way, we'll try to remember to pin the link to our reaction to this that we watched together. This is the, if you've never seen this movie, this is the weirdest movie mm-hmm. you might ever watch in your life. It was released, I believe, in 81. Was it between Empire and Return of the Jedi or between Something New like Hope that, and yeah. Empire? It was either released between episode 4 and 5 or between 5 and 6 to basically like maintain the hype of the Star Wars, you know, fanaticism that was going on at the time. And it's a made for TV special. It really shows when you watch it, and it's just weird and oftentimes uncomfortable. Like there's this entire
oftentimes.
Yeah, there's this entire hypnotic scene where this Wookiee puts on what's basically like a virtual headset and then like starts to like watch like euphoric images of this woman dancing around and mm-hmm. she's like wearing this sparkly headdress thing and you're like, are we still watching Star Wars right now? It was so odd. Welcome in, Chris. Right after four.
Episode 4.
Oh, I got you. Right after 4. Yeah, on A? On A?
No.
It came out right after 4.
It came out, episode
4. Right, because in episode 5, they had to put all the makeup on him for the Wampa scene, and in this, he was even less recovered from the accident, and it really shows on his face.
Yeah. There was a lot of more music than I expected in that movie, too.
And there's the woman who has, like, the weird hairdo and is like mm-hmm. like chopping and cooking. Stirring and it's so weird. Yeah. It's so weird. Do you want to put this on Bantha Poodoo or somewhere?
I would absolutely put it there. Yeah.
Where on Bantha Poodoo? Is it better or worse than The Rise of Skywalker?
I think I want to put it better just because it would be funny.
The novelty of it. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know if I actually believe that, but it's our list. Who cares?
Right. Yeah. Definitely not as much money went into it. I can tell you that.
Right. Oh, there's, right.
There's a lot on this remaining list that we haven't seen that we're hoping to do like an episode or maybe even some reactions to like all the old 80s cartoon ones. I think, is this Caravan of Courage or?
Yeah.
like Ewoks and droids and the Battle for Endor. Yep. All the 80s shows and films are the ones that I think you and I have never seen. And so we're hoping to do an episode where we react to all of those in the near future.
And even these extended, I don't know, have you seen these extended editions of episode 3 or... I haven't seen any of those. I don't know where those even came from.
I saw that. I was trying to understand what it was, too. Like those bottom two ones there?
Yeah.
Or like they're coming up? Star Wars was still just a movie when the holiday special was made. Yeah, that's like I guess the first Star Wars film wasn't even called Episode 4 yet at that point in time.
Yeah,
so it was true. Like there's probably a lot of sentiment of like, what are we doing? Like this movie was way more successful than we thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, let's make a musical.
Yeah. Although this next one is the Cartoon Network Star Wars Clone Wars that came out, I think, in like 2002. Maybe 2001, 2002.
I really like this.
I do too. I would make the case this is B tier even.
B tier. Yep. I would put it in B. I'll put it above Attack of the Clones.
I would too.
I would put it above Solo. I would put it above Kenobi.
Ooh.
I would put it above. I would put it above Tales of the Empire.
It's so hard to rate it against some of these too. I kind of like that spot. Do you like it more than Force Awakens?
I put it above Force Awakens.
Oh wow! I mean, you won't get any argument from me, but
I mean, just because of that, I could put it above a Jedi. Because, like we said, those are pretty close.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'd probably stop there.
This is so much space soap opera. All right, yeah. These next two on the list, what are these, Gibbo? Do you know what these are?
These extended edition versions of Episode 3.
They're just extended movie releases, I guess.
I don't remember ever even seeing that. So
it says Episode 3: Revenge of the Sith Extended Edition, and Episode 3: Revenge of the Sith Ultimate Edition. What the heck are these, and why have we not seen them? Well, I guess they're going in the unranked category.
Unranked, yeah, for sure.
Huh. Well, now we know two other things that we need to look into. Let us know in the comments of the video version of the podcast what those are, if you have any information on them. But
and what tier would you put them on?
Yeah. All right, we've got three left. Is there another Phantom Menace in there? What is that very last one?
Is that another like extended edition?
Well. Oh, another extended edition?
Okay.
I feel like I probably would have seen that, but I can't recall what would have been different, so I guess we'll put it on unranked.
Yeah.
And then we've got what? Visions?
And Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, man. Visions is also underrated, I would say. I remember when this came out, So when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, it'll be all right. I'm not super high on it. And then I watched it, and I was like, that was incredible. There's some episodes of this show that are so good. This is tough. This is, yeah, like I don't know if I could make the case for low A tier, but I think it minimum should be B tier.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
I think I like, see, there's also, I think there's like three or four episodes in season one that are the really good ones, and there's some that are also like not very good.
Yep.
So I think the lack of consistency from the quality of the episodes is probably what makes this deserve a spot in B instead of A. I don't know if I can put it above the seventh and eighth film on our list, though. I think I did like it more than Tales of the Empire. I don't know. Where are you thinking in terms
of this? Yeah, I'm exactly where Gibbo has it here, between episode seven and eight, and then Tales of the Empire. That's where I would put it.
Okay. And then last but not least,
I like how this is the last one, actually.
Yeah, people will say that this is the greatest Star Wars movie of all time. I personally like this as my favorite Star Wars movie. I know you're more of a Return of the Jedi guy. I mean, I think, I don't know, this has to go in S, right?
this has to go in S, yeah, I'd agree.
Is it, see, I like Empire more than Rogue One, but I know you like, do you like Rogue One more than Empire?
I mean, I think I like Empire more than Rogue One.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd be fine with the number two. Well, Clone Wars 2?
Hear me out. I love Clone
Wars. This is a good one.
I love Clone Wars. But I think this is like the pinnacle of Star Wars is Empire Strikes Back. Like, arguably the most famous scene in cinema history is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that alone, I just, you know, the introduction of Yoda on Dagobah, the entire first part of the movie on Hoth. It's our plan. It's our podcast namesake is from this movie. I think Empire, I would make the case, should be ahead of Clone Wars on this list.
Yeah, I couldn't. There's no part of me that would be able to put Clone Wars ahead of it, either because of the facts or also because of the era that I grew up in.
Yeah. Okay, I'm liking our list. We think we've made a pretty good list. I think the only part before we conclude it that I would consider making a revision to, I think we're considering moving the stuff at the top of A tier to the bottom of S. Okay. How would you feel about moving Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith to the bottom of S tier?
I think since this is the Hoth hangout tier list, I think that seems like the right thing to do.
All right. I like that. And are you comfortable leaving it in that order?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, I know you aren't.
I know, like, for me personally, I would put Revenge of the Sith above Return of the Jedi.
You know, but there's no way to put two things in the same space, so
yeah,
we'll say that these are both our audibles, our executive orders, if you will.
Right. I feel like this is such a solid list. I love seeing it in visual format of, like, all the Star Wars we've seen just in kind of this space of, like, okay, yeah, we can look at the movies and shows, and while it might be comparing apples and oranges, it's kind of like, you know, we can vaguely put it all on the same spectrum of rankings. So,
right.
Anything on our list that you disagreed with in today's episode, feel free to let us know, and we'll discuss maybe some of the takeaways on next week's episode of the podcast and the feedback that we get from people's thoughts on our list. So, Joey, any last final takeaways from this list that we've created today?
No, this is fun. I always like doing these types of things and seeing what everyone else's thoughts are. We'll drop a link to the tier list in the show notes, so you could share with us what your specific tier lists are for the movies and shows in Star Wars.
Definitely, good call. Yeah, yeah. And once again, viewer question of the day: let us know. Do you like Star Wars movies or TV shows more? Which do you find yourself leaning more towards in terms of enjoyment? Let us know that, and we'll showcase some of your thoughts and comments on next week's episode of the podcast, episode 104, where we'll be doing a What If Star Wars edition. Going to be a fun one. Looking forward very much to that. And I hope you all be able to tune in, and want to give, once again, a special thank you to those of you listening or watching the live version of today's episode, episode 103 of the podcast. Again, we're going to try to be doing these a lot more often, maybe even monthly, potentially. So as based on the feedback that we got from episode 100's question that we posed for what you want to see more in year 3 of the Hoth Hangout podcast. So stay tuned for more Hoth Hangout live streams coming very soon in the near future. And again, next week's episode, What If Star Wars Edition. Hopefully y'all be able to catch that one. And having said all of that, I want to give you a quick reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Hoth Hangout podcast on YouTube, check us out there for the video version of the podcast, as well as our reactions to all of the latest shows when they go live, and our roughly monthly live streams that we do on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. If you're not yet subscribed there already, hit that subscribe button. We'd love to see you join the crew over there on YouTube. You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, or otherwise. And we'd love to showcase them here on the pod. You can find the Hoth Hangout podcast anywhere you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it does also allow it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms. And the link to our Hoth Hangout community Discord server is available down in the show notes of today's episode. Joey, any last thoughts on today's episode of the podcast, the list that we made?
No, it was a lot of fun, especially with the interaction we got with chat. We just love talking about Star Wars, and especially with you all. I mean, yeah, year three already, Lord Galvatron. Hopefully another three to come. Just more and more Star Wars. Eventually a celebration together at some point, Star Wars celebration. And yeah, it's been a good time. I had a lot of fun. So thank you for everyone who came in chat. Bevan, Lord Galvatron, Chris, Spine Sports, Knifey, everybody. I do appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. And I hope, like I said, nothing was going on today anyway. So it was probably the best day for y'all to for us to stream this to you all.
Yep, on an entirely uneventful first Tuesday in November. We hope you guys are having a wonderfully comfortable and not so exciting evening, because there's nothing else going on in the world at this moment in time. So, by the way, Star Wars Celebration 2025 is in Japan. So unless we can both make a trip to Japan and perhaps, you know, do a live stream from there, it might have to wait until.
I got an idea. I got an idea for you.
Yeah.
Your honeymoon should be there.
Okay. Mariah, if you're listening, we're going to consider honeymooning in Japan, and then we can make a trip to Star Wars Celebration too. Yeah, I'm sure she would love that for our...
I'll just start a Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon coming soon. Well, we appreciate y'all for listening to today's episode. And lastly, want to give a huge shout out and thank you to Gibbo for producing today's episode, the show, the video, and the assets. Who is in a tier all by himself above the S tier. Gibbo, shout out to you, my man. Thank you for all you do. Welcome back from your couple episodes away, too. Good to have you back. And this episode did feel like a very smooth, you know, going episode. And want to welcome you back. And good to have you back, the three of us all together again. And hopefully we'll be back again next week covering a Star Wars What If episode. Hope to catch you all then. Once again, a special thank you and shout out to those of you watching the live version of this week's podcast. Another live version of a podcast will be coming probably in a few weeks' time as well, so keep an eye out for that. Thank you so much to each and every one of you, whether you're listening and watching live or listening after the fact. We appreciate you so, so very much. Thank you for making Hoth Hangout what it is. And until next time, we'll catch you then, and may the Force be with you.